chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This morning we will begin reading at verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate.' Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." And may the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of His Word to our hearts this morning. We live in an age of scandal. In fact, it seems as though some newspapers and television programs exist on scandal. In fact, we're so familiar with scandal that for many of us, a scandal isn't even a scandal anymore. What used to cause our parents and grandparents to turn red does not even cause us to turn our head. With all the scandals we could list, and you could start in Hollywood and go all the way across the country to Washington, D.C., you might be surprised to know that there is in Christianity a scandal as well. It's not the scandal of the televangelist. It's not the scandal of those who have denied the faith. It's not the scandal of those who bring disgrace upon the name of Jesus Christ. But rather, as Paul in writing to the church at Corinth points out, the scandal of Christianity is the cross of Jesus Christ. To the Jews, the cross of the Lord Jesus has always been a scandal. And so it is to many others as well. The scandal of Christianity has always been and always will be the cross of Jesus Christ. And though many have tried to remove this scandal, it remains. And it will. And this morning, I want us to consider the scandal of Christianity. The scandal of Christianity, which is the cross of Christ. Let's begin by defining what we mean by scandal. In verse 23, Paul mentions that the cross of Christ is a stumbling block to the Jew. That word literally in the Greek is scandalon, from which we get our English word scandal. So when you talk about scandal sheets and the scandals of the White House or the scandals in Hollywood, that's where we get the word. But what did it mean to those who first used it? Well, I did a little homework and found that the word scandalon literally comes from the concept of a stick by which an animal would trip or trigger a trap. Now, if any of you ever had rabbit boxes, you know exactly what the word scandal points to. Remember, we used to have a rabbit box and there was a stick, and you put the lettuce or carrot or whatever it was real close to that stick, and when that rabbit got in there and eaten that food and he bumped that stick, and that fox would come down and you had your rabbit. That's the word. That's the word. It's a scandal. It's that stick that causes one to stumble or to be trapped. That's why it's translated stumbling block, because in the usage, it became common for the word scandal to mean that which causes one to stumble, to be entrapped. Something that trips a person up is a scandal. So that's what Paul means when he talks about the cross being a scandal. It's that which causes Jews to trip up when it comes to their receiving the gospel. Now, when Paul makes that statement, we'd have to agree, if there's anybody who should know, it should be him. For he was a Pharisee, a Pharisee of Pharisees, if we are to believe his own testimony. And if anybody knew what being Jewish was about, it was a Pharisee. And Paul, writing from his own cultural background, says the cross of Jesus Christ is a scandal. It's a stumbling block which causes people to trip up. The scandal is the fact that the Messiah of God, Jesus the Christ, would die on a cross. To the Jew, it is the thing that traps them and keeps them from coming to Christ for redemption and forgiveness, because it's unthinkable that the Messiah of God would die on Calvary's cross. It's unthinkable that one so holy would be accursed, for everyone who is hung on a tree is accursed. The Old Testament teaches that, and Paul refers to that in his discourse to the Galatians. While the Gentiles simply believed that such a notion was foolishness, literally moronic, stupid, to the Jew, it was a scandal. The Jews reckoned such a thought to be scandalous, that the Christ would die on a cross. Today, the cross remains the scandal of Christianity. And so we live with the continuing scandal of the cross. One writer has observed, until a person sees that there is no hope within himself to satisfy the righteous demands of the law, the cross is simply a farce to him. Until one sees that there is no hope within himself or herself to satisfy the righteous demands of an absolutely holy God, then the cross will remain a scandal. You see, it's when you see yourself as God sees you before His holy character, then you can begin to see why a cross would be necessary. The cross remains a scandal to many people. It's utterly absurd to them that God would come in the form of His Son and then die such a hideous death to redeem rebellious creatures. Why, that's not logical. Maybe not to sinful men, but to a holy, loving God, it's absolutely wisdom beyond anything we could comprehend. Paul understood this absurdity, for he writes in Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, not righteous, not good, but sinners in rebellion against God, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." One of my seminary professors was asked, not at Princeton, but at Reformed, was asked by a Buddhist if he truly believed the message of Christianity for the eternal life of his soul. The professor understood the question. The question was really about the scandal. And he said, "If you are asking me, do I trust in the death of Jesus of Nazareth, the death He died on the cross at Calvary's Hill for my redemption from sin, then yes, I truly believe this message for my salvation. And friend, that's the crux of the matter. It is a scandal to those who do not believe that one would simply fall before the cross of Jesus Christ and say, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling," is absolutely scandalous. We must bring something. Study the religions of the world. What do? They all bring something to their gods to appease them. But the only propitiation, the only appeasement for the holy, righteous God of creation was the death of His own Son for my sin and for your sin. The cross of Jesus Christ has always been a scandal, and it always will be. It's been referred to by some theologians as slaughterhouse religion, a scandal. It's been referred to by some as the bloody faith, a scandal. It's referred to by some as the redemption moment, so that it is not the actual reality of a bloody Christ on a bloody cross, but it's just the concept of substitutionary redemption. Friend, you don't get saved by a concept. As the old hymn puts the question rightly, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's what makes the difference. To those who simply want to reduce the cross to a concept or an ideal, the cross remains a scandal. But this morning, we celebrate the scandal of the cross. We affirm the words of the Apostle Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians: God made Him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we in Him might become the righteousness of God. That's what we celebrate. That which is scandalous and moronic to others is the very heart and soul of our faith. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And how does He save sinners like me? By His own blood, by His own death on the cross. Yes, we come and we celebrate this morning as we partake of this communion that we are of that company who may in ourselves be scandalous as we trust the cross. How can you believe such foolishness? And so we are partakers in the scandal. We are narrow-minded. We are those who would thwart the work by being too narrow. And yet the Bible teaches us that there is only one way, and it is the way of the cross. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And my way is the way of the cross. You see, only by embracing that which to unbelievers is a scandal can one find forgiveness of sin. Only by embracing this scandal can one have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and thus be restored in fellowship to their Creator God. Only through the scandal of the cross can we hope to have life eternal. Well, the way of Jesus is the way of the cross. And to many, it will always be a scandal. One unknown author has stated our conviction most clearly: upon a life I have not lived, Upon a death I have not died, another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to be scandalized for us. Forgive us when we would be tempted to compromise the message of your cross to escape the scandal. Lord, we thank you that you loved us so, and that through your perfect life and atoning death, we can have life eternal. We can have the forgiveness of sins. We can have relationship with God through you. And so we come, not because we got it right this week in anticipation of this communion service, not because we got it right this morning, not because we have all the ducks of our lives in a row, but because we cling to the sacrifice of Christ for our salvation. But Lord, I would ask that you touch our hearts so that we would not be ashamed of the cross. And Lord, there may be folks here, I don't know every heart, some who realize maybe they've been in church for years, but only now realize this is what it means to know Jesus. To begin at his cross. Oh, may they let go of all that they are trusting in and grasp your cross alone. For there is redemption and life. Lord, there may be some of us who need to come back to the cross. We've been grasping other things with our hands and we've let go of your cross, and we would confess that we've looked to our own works, we've looked to our own abilities mentally, academically, we've looked to our own strength. But we realize that we have no strength apart from you. We have no wisdom apart from you. So Father, may we simply let go and cling anew to Jesus alone. O Holy Spirit of God, pry away from our hands anything but Christ.